All right. We, for a big part of this year, we were looking at a subject relating to God and how our relationship with God is structured, how God designed it to work. And we took a break over Easter to look at what Jesus Christ did for us, his death, his propitiation, the fact that he rose from the dead, and we had a wonderful guest last week. But we want to pick that up, but we want to look at it from another angle, and that is that relating to God is not just you and God alone in a room. Relating to God includes relating to one another. When sometimes, and you may have heard this phrase, maybe in a church, you know, Holy Spirit, we invite you, or Holy Spirit, come. All right. Well, where does the Holy Spirit live today? Is he a wind that kind of comes in like the movies and whoosh, whoosh, Holy Spirit? Did you feel that? I think that was the Holy Spirit. Ooh, wow. Ooh. No, the Holy Spirit lives in containers called human beings. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so in receiving from the Lord and relating to God, it has to include relating to one another. John, the apostle, in one of his epistles, he put it this way. He said, I'm having a hard time understanding this. He said, you say that you love God, whom you can't see, and you hate your brother, that's another Christian, you hate your brother that you can see. How can you say that the love of God lives in you? That doesn't work that way. All right. So relating to God has to include relating to one another. Now, here's the problem. God is good. All the time, God is good. People are not always good. It is not all the time. The best of us, it's some of the time. So relating to God in prayer or relating to his word, it is 100% risk free. He will never, he has never, and he will never hurt you. God will not hurt you. Jeremiah 29:11. I know the thoughts that I have towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts to prosper you. And he puts this part in. Not to harm you. God has never and he will never hurt you. Every single person in this room, on the other hand, we have all been hurt and harmed by people, haven't we? We've been hurt and harmed by people. So the tendency is, let me just hang out with God and these people I'm going to keep at an arm's length. Because I don't want to, because God didn't make us dumb. If you get hurt once or twice, you're going to protect yourself. All right. So I want to ask you a few questions when it comes to people, because when we relate to people, things can get strange. They can get weird. And I want to just describe a few scenarios to see if these may apply to your life. Number one, do you feel like you have to keep certain people in your life happy or satisfied? You must meet their requests, and it seems like it is never enough. They don't listen to you, nor any of your objections. Sometimes you've stayed up late, you've taken loans for others, all out of a sense of obligation to keep other people happy. Number one. Number two, do you have ever had a hard time receiving love from someone else? Grace from another Christian? Sometimes maybe you never ask for help, but yet you feel guilty that you can't solve all your problems yourself. Number three, do you avoid confrontation or speaking up to certain people in your life for a fear of the feelings that will come out of them or the inevitable reaction that you'll get? Number four, are you someone that always wants your way and you tend to always get your way? Your persuasion even goes to forcefulness. Other people jump, and yet you have no real close friends. You manipulate situations and people to get your will accomplished. Number five, do you sometimes feel sorry for yourself because others don't help you? They don't know that you're hurting. You're angry and bitter because other people don't care for you. You see them as wrong and as incorrect. Number six, do you have a friend that seems to manipulate every situation for their good? You always say yes. They're not sensitive to your feelings, but yet you're still in the relationship. Number seven, you're a self-made man or woman. You have above average IQ or intellect. You have great wisdom in the financial remuneration that comes with it. Relying on others is a sign of weakness, and you would be embarrassed to ask for help. Yet, on the inside, you're lonely. Those seven kind of different situations, just raise of hands. How many of you saw something about your life in one of those phrases, one of those situations? All right. Probably we all do, some of us, more than one. All right. So as we begin to relate to one another, and we have our whole life, we grew up in a family, we have relationships right now, we have to do it God's way. All right. And I would venture to tell you and to present to you that the disappointment, the hurt that we've had in our life, it is never, ever, ever a God problem. It's a people problem. Either we being the people and the wound was self-inflicted, or because of the relationships that we've had, there's been hurt and harm that has come. And somebody said, well, you know, well, what about the devil? Well, here's the thing. The devil needs a willing party to work through, just like God. I don't think anybody in this room were not that special that the devil would make a special trip just to your house. Okay. But he certainly has yielded vessels. All right. Sometimes unwillingly. Sometimes it's just even Christians that are not operating by the word of God, and they're operating in selfishness and carnality. And so in a sense, they are operating by his kingdom's principles and then helping him do his work. All right. And so there's been hurt and harm. There's been confusion. But during these next few weeks, I really, really want you to pay attention. I want you to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you, because the things that we're going to see from the word of God these next few weeks can change your life. And I'll share a little bit more next couple of weeks about kind of some of my own journey. But some of these things were things that I learned, I would say, late in life. All right. And I'm enjoying life 100 times better with these principles working than before. But some of them are unnatural. That is, they weren't in my background. All right. They weren't in my culture. All right. And I had to learn them from the word of God and begin to implement them in my life. Okay. And I'm still learning them. All right. So if we go back to what we had said before, is that God himself, God Almighty, has defined himself. That is, there are things that he does, right? He loves, he forgives, he corrects, right? There are things, qualities about himself. He is holy. He is faithful. All right. But sovereignly, God has chosen to show us things that are outside of himself. All right. God does not lie. Am I right? Or the Bible says God does not lie. All right. God doesn't change his mind. All right. God is not hurting or harming people. All right. The Bible makes some of these things clear. So there are things that are within God's jurisdiction, within his character, and there are things that are outside of his character. There are things, as he relates to us, there are things that he does towards us. All right. When we think about our salvation experience, right? For by grace you've been saved through faith, right? Grace is his part. Faith is our part. So we don't, the grace that we have in our life, it came from him. All right. We don't manufacture grace. We don't come up with grace. We can dispense God's grace as a steward. Paul said, I'm a steward of God's grace. All right. But in the same way, God cannot, God will not do your believing for you. He will not do your praying for you. Right? What did Jesus say? Your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask. Well, he knows there's a need. Why doesn't he just meet the need? He needs you to ask. All right? That's faith, right? So in the way that God has designed us, he gave us responsibilities. All right? We have a human job description. There are things that are within us. And we looked at some of those things. Our beliefs belong to us, right? So that means God created us with the capacity to believe. Now, how many of you know, you go around the world, you watch the Discovery Channel, everywhere in the world, somebody is believing something right now. About God, about the afterlife, about, you know, I find it so funny that, you know, atheists say, well, there's no God. Well, why do you get so mad at us? Because we do believe in God. Well, that, in a sense, that has become their religion, to show the world that there is no God. All right. So we are built with the capacity to believe. Those beliefs belong to us. We can change them. They are developed. So our beliefs belong to us. Our thoughts belong to us. Our emotions belong to us. Okay. God doesn't make you happy. He doesn't have a lightning bolt that zaps you in the morning. Now, let's be honest. How many of you sometimes, you know, the phrase, you woke up on the wrong side of the bed? If you're married, you know what that is, right? You know, it's like, oh, okay. I don't need to be talking to Walker today. All right. What's wrong? With our emotions. No one makes us mad. No one makes us happy. All right. We sang the song. I'm on fire. Hey, made me happy. Some people decided not to be happy. That's fine. That's your choice. That's your deal. We can't make you happy. We can't make you on fire. Hey, all right. So our emotions belong to us, and then our beliefs, our emotions lead to decisions. Your decisions belong to you. All right. So what that means is, if I realize that these belong to me, I want God to influence those. I want God to influence my beliefs, my thoughts, my emotions, and my actions. But he will not do them for me. I invite him. God, help me to think your thoughts. God, I'm spending some time with you today. And oh, wow. Oh, that is exactly. I needed to hear your thoughts. I needed to renew my mind. Holy Spirit, give me and help me the grace to act today. All right. So those belong to us. So when we know that they belong to us, two things happen. Number one, we take responsibility. We take responsibility for what belongs to us. Right? We take responsibility. Number two is, we don't let people mess with our stuff. We respect what belongs to someone else. I hope you learned that when you grew up. Don't take what doesn't belong to you. Right? You know, if you were a young boy and you came home with a football and your mother didn't buy it for you, and you have no, you know, you're 7 years old, you have no capacity to make money, and your mother says, where'd you get that ball? I found it. Where'd you find it? Well, I found it in my friend's room. Did you ask? No, I just took it. Hopefully we all learn, go give it back. That doesn't belong to you. That is the property of another individual, right? So I take responsibility for my what belongs to me, but I respect that in someone else, okay? It doesn't, so their emotions, and let me tell you, married people, you are not responsible for the emotions of your spouse. Well, I'm just trying to make my husband happy. No, that's his job. I'm just trying to keep my wife calm. Impossible. That's her job. Now, wait a second. Can you influence that? Yes, you can. Can you invite people to be on team you to help you have better emotional stuff and better decisions? Yeah. Invite the right people in. All right. But ultimately, those responsibilities belong to you. All right. Turn with me and let's look at a verse here. Proverbs 4:23. Proverbs 4:23 from the New Living Translation. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. Tell your neighbor, that's my job. Okay? God did not say, I will guard your heart. He didn't say, get your spouse or your parent or your pastor or your apostle to guard your heart. You guard your heart. Okay? Now, the things that we were talking about, our beliefs, our emotions, our decisions, those are within our heart, aren't they? Those are internal things. Okay? So guard, that's a defensive word. That's a protective word. Guard your heart above all else. Why? For it, your heart, determines the course of your life. Why is life working out the way it is? Because your heart. Your heart. Things are in your heart. The wonderful thing is, things can change in our heart. All right? So here's how God designed us, is that as we relate to others, okay, and we're going to be coming back to this a number of times, is we reach out, all right? We reach out to others for good, for grace, okay? Perfect example is this morning. All right, we introduced you to four people here in our church. Pastor Wim and I, we've known these people for years. We've ministered with them. We believe in them. All right. And so now you can reach out to them. We're going to present them to you, among other people here at our church. But there's grace. There's love. There's help. Amen. All right. So we reach out for good. All right. But how many of you know the world is not completely inhabited by good people? There's evil out there. It's kind of like everywhere. So we reach out for good and we say yes. We say no to the bad. We reject it. All right. The evil that is in the world, James put it this way, you resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Resist the devil. There's an active opposition that you have to do. Resist the devil. Okay? Unfortunately, sometimes the devil or that kingdom's activities happens through other people. So we resist, we reject, we say no to bad, to evil, to allow it into our heart. Okay? Now, let's give a couple of examples here. And this is something that's very simple to understand. Just like our heart has, in a sense, boundaries or a fence, it has a demarcation of who we are and who we are not, so does our physical body, all right? The boundaries of our body is called our skin, right? All right? Where my skin is me. Over there is not me. Okay. And so much of cultural norms come from this skin boundary. Correct? When we put chairs out here, right? The ushers have never had to correct anyone of two people sitting in one chair. Right? Because this is my chair. Okay. Have you ever been in a situation? I do this on the airplane. But if there's somebody sitting next to me who has not been dieting, all right, they're bigger than that seat, I push back, all right? You keep your stuff over there. I paid a lot of money from right here to right here, And even that armrest, sometimes they'll get over on my thing and I'll push it back, you know. Don't be messing with my space. All right. Correct. Okay. And so every culture in the world understands this thing about skin. Okay. And there are certain things, you know, so when you shake hands with someone, I believe it came from the idea that, you know, in with your right hand is where you carried a sword or a weapon. And so when you offered a handshake, you were saying, I'm not going to kill you right now. Okay. I wish Christians would understand that too. All right. And so you offer a handshake, right? You offer your skin, but sometimes people say no thank you to the skin. Correct? I think that was in the newspaper a few years ago, right? Somebody wanted to shake hands. Somebody said, no, I'm not going to shake your hand. All right. Correct? Okay. But here's the thing. It's my skin. I'll do with my skin what I want to do with my skin. My wife and I have lived our whole adult life outside of the country where we grew up. And so, and we've interacted with lots and lots of different cultures. And so we've had to learn, you know, what do you do when you greet people? Sometimes you kiss them. Sometimes you pretend you kiss them. You know, you just do an air kiss over here on the side. And, you know, you just put your head over here and your head over there. Sometimes you really actually kiss them or kiss them on the lips. Or sometimes we've gotten confused and we, you know, where's this person from? What am I supposed to do here? Okay. But the bottom line is, you don't kiss me without me kissing you back. I don't hug you without you hugging me back. We respect each other's boundaries. Okay. Every culture in the world, there are two things that are wrong. When someone inflicts injury or pain upon your skin, that's called assault. Correct? They have hurt you. They have used their own fist or an instrument or something, and they have physically assaulted you because you didn't ask for them to use a steel pipe and hit you in the head. I didn't invite for that to happen. I didn't ask for you to do that. So therefore, the laws of most countries around the world will say, hey, you have violated their boundary. Okay? Secondly, in the area of our sexuality, all right? You don't get to have sex with someone against their will or against their consent. That's called rape, isn't it? Oh, but it'll bless them. Oh, I have a need. Well, no. If they want to say no, you have to respect their no. And so, you know, people that rape women or who are pedophiles, who take advantage of the weak, all right, thank God most countries in the world will say, hey, you are wrong. You violated their skin boundary in the area of sexuality. Okay. So here's the thing. We already have this understanding. Okay, by the fact that each of you are sitting in a seat by yourself, you have this understanding. Okay? And we understand this. But we need to translate that from our skin to our soul, to the inside part of us. Okay? Because in one sense, that's where there's some real damage that can occur. Okay? Another example that probably all of us understand, especially if we live in Lusaka, is that we have to protect our physical property wherever you live, in a house or a flat or wherever it is. You take defensive measures, right, to make sure your stuff is intact. You know, sometimes we've had to make announcements at church. Hey, hold on to your cell phones. You know, some places in the world, you have to, when you praise the Lord, you need to close one eye and keep the other eye on your handbag and your purse, you know. Why? Because you have a response. Nobody else is looking at you. You've got to look after your stuff. When you go home at night, what do? You lock the door. Turn on the fence. You make sure the security is it. Whatever it is, you get beer bottles and you break them and you put them on top of the fence. Why? Because you are protected. Your stuff. From who? From the bad people. The fact that there are electrical fences and there are beer bottles on the walls is because there's evil in our world. If everyone was a Christian, if everyone loved the Lord and lived according to the Bible, we would have no walls and we would have no lawyers. Okay? But we live in a fallen world, and so some of us in this church have done it. They've made a great living being a lawyer and putting up electric fences. All right? God bless you. Okay? So, we have to do the same for our heart. Guard your heart. Now, here's the other thing. None of us live anywhere that has, you know, 10-meter high walls with no gates. Everybody has a gate, don't we? What is the gate? The gate is sometimes I need to get out because I need to have contact with the world. I need groceries. I need to go do stuff. I need to get out and receive good that's in the world. But there are some good people that I'm going to allow in my property. Okay? Pretty much the 20 years we've lived in Africa, we had some type of an intercom, you know, where someone would beep it and we would say, hello. And sometimes it's comical. You say, hello. They say, hello. 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 Who are you? Who are you? It's okay. This is going nowhere. One of us is going to have to break here. Okay. But we want you to identify yourself. Who are you? I don't know who you are. Oh, you're the electrician. Okay, fine. Boop. Open the gate. Or go out and open the gate, right? Or go tell your teenage son, go open the gate. Right? Why? Because there's something good that's out there that you want to allow in. Okay? But at the same time, no one. Somebody's beating your gate. Somebody's knocking on your door. No one in this room just says, oh, come on in. I don't know who you are, but just come on in. You're brandishing weapons. Fine. I just bless you. I walk in love. I'm a Christian. I love everybody. Come on in. No, nobody was raised to be that foolish. Correct? We keep the bad out. We let the good in. Okay? And we do so physically with our skin, you can take karate lessons. Okay, you can in a sense resist physically, all right? With our property, we have walls, we have different things, we've got car alarms, we've got things that help protect us here at the church, we've got security, all the different things we do to try to protect ourselves. In our heart, we protect ourselves, we let in good and we keep bad out with two simple words, yes and no. Yes to the good. And the good that's in people, the grace that's in people, and no to the bad, or the wrong, or simply the stuff that we don't want in our life. Okay? We get to make those decisions. In fact, we're commanded to make those decisions. The Bible says this, let your yes be yes. Let your no be no. Everyone here, I don't care how old you are. I don't care what's happened in your life. You have a yes and you have a no. Now, maybe some of your yeses or nos are dusty and rusty and underused, but they're there. The fact that you haven't used them doesn't mean God hasn't given them to you. All right? And so we want to learn how to do this godly, appropriately, and biblically. All right. Now, I just want to, we're going to take as much time as we need to for this. Okay. But think about this. All right. Now, who is for Christians, who is our example? Jesus, right? So Jesus is our master. We follow him. Okay. And thank God he came as a human being. So it is a great example to us. All right. Did Jesus say yes? Sometimes. Did Jesus ever say no? Yeah, he did. All right. Now, how many of you know that if there was anyone who had the potential to live life independently and without the help of anyone else, it would have had to have been Jesus, right? If anyone was going to be, you know, solo, Superman. See, Superman is different than the other superheroes. He doesn't have a belt and he doesn't have a sidekick. Superman is super. All right. So he doesn't need a Robin. He doesn't need a person to come and help him out. All right. Jesus didn't come that way with a red cape. All right. When Jesus, think about this, and we talked about this around Easter, and you saw it here on the stage for the choice. Okay. Jesus was going to the cross. Jesus was becoming sin for you and I. And Jesus was going to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray and to talk to his Father about that. Well, that's a God thing, right? It's just Jesus and God. What did Jesus say? He took his three best friends and he said, "Will you tarry with me? Will you pray with me?" What was he saying to them? I need you in my life. Jesus was opening up the gate of his heart and he wanted to receive their love. He wanted to receive their grace. He wanted them to physically be with him to pray. Jesus had told people, hey, agree together when you pray. Come together in my name. So he was doing that. And he was upset. He got angry when they fell asleep. Could you not even pray with me for 1 hour? He was annoyed, wasn't he? Because his friends had let him down. They had disappointed him. What he was hoping that they could give to him, they didn't give to him. All right? So Jesus received love from people. Jesus received, the Bible says that when he was here on the earth, there were people financially that supported his ministry. He didn't make bags of money appear like some Zimbabwean prophets are telling us. If you don't know about that, it's good you don't know about it, all right? No, he didn't just say, well, let's see, I think I just need some bread and poof. Okay, I need a bag of money. Just pick up a bag of money, or there's a miracle credit in my bank account. No, there were people that supported. Jesus was, he was dependent upon people. He allowed that good to come into his life. Do you see that? Do you remember when Jesus was at the cross? All right, and he cared about his mother Mary. And so before he died, he made sure that she was going to be looked after on the earth and said, John, I want you to take care of my mom. Mom, this guy John is going to help look after you. He reached out to others. Do you see that? All right. But Jesus also, with people, said no. All right. Peter, his disciple, one day did something great. And Jesus said, you know, who do people say that I am? Well, some people say you're Elijah. Some people say John the Baptist back from the dead. Well, who do you say that I am? Peter said, I believe you are the Christ. You are the Messiah. You are the one that the prophets have spoken of. And he said, Simon Bar-Jonah, man, I tell you, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. Upon this rock, I'll build my church. And so he's giving him a big high five. Well done, Peter. Awesome. And then when Jesus was explaining to Peter, I'm going to go to Jerusalem, I'm going to die. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. And what was the response of Jesus? Peter, you are an offense to me. Get thee behind me, Satan. What was he saying? Get away. I need to distance myself from your nonsense right now. Get thee behind me. Don't get close to me. Get thee behind me. Did Jesus say that? Did Jesus go later apologize? Oh, Peter, I am so sorry. I've just been under so much stress. I mean, literally the weight of the world is on my shoulders. And I was just having a bad day. You need to understand that even sons of God have bad days. You know, no, he didn't. He didn't. He said, Peter, I love you. You're one of my best friends. You're going to be the senior pastor of the first church of the whole wide world. But right now, get away from me. You are an offense to me. There was another time Jesus, a lot of the miracles of the life of Jesus were on the way. He was going from one place to another and people just stopped him. All right. And so one person said, well, hey, let me stop him. And this person was having a dispute about an inheritance. Have you ever heard about disputes over inheritances? Yeah, disputes over inheritances. And so this person would say, hey, Jesus, come and you need to sort this thing out. And I'm sure it was to rule in my favor. I want more money. More money for honey. All right? Me. And so Jesus said this to him. He said, who made me a judge over you? He could have said it this way. That's not my job. And then he warned him, beware of covetousness. He wanted Jesus to come and sort it out. What he got was a warning and a mini sermon. Did Jesus say no to that request? Oh, yes, he did. Did Jesus come back later and say, oh, you know, I think I was just so harsh. You know, after all, I am love and I need to be a good example. And, you know, I'm not that busy. I should say yes to everything. No, 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 no. Jesus didn't say yes to every request. Jesus didn't go to every whim. One place the Bible says, it simply says this, Jesus left that city because they were trying to kill him there. He didn't pray about it. He didn't have a mandate from God. He realized, they're trying to kill me here. It's not time for me to go yet. Guys, come, pack up the gear. Whoop, we're out of here. He left. All right, so how many of we're supposed to be like Jesus, right? So we open up. We invite good, grace-filled, wonderful people into our lives. And sometimes even Peter, sometimes even your best friend, you have to say no to. Let me look. I'll give you one more scripture before we go. Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22. Now, I want you to hear today, one of the things I really want you to hear about is that this responsibility belongs to you. You are the gatekeeper of your life. You have the keys. We've always had remote controls. You've got the clicker. You allow what comes in and out. And the people that come in and out. Proverbs 22 verse 3. A prudent man foresees evil and hides himself. Isn't that what we're talking about? But the simple pass on and are punished. I'm afraid that's happened to too many of us. New Living Translation says it this way. A prudent person foresees danger and takes precautions. We have all done this in the natural. We've all done this in the natural. God wants you to do this in your soul. The simpleton goes blindly on what's that? In the face of danger, in the face of these warning signs, the simpleton goes blindly on and suffers the consequences. Oh, the devil's attacking me. No, he's not. You left your gate open. You said yes to the wrong person. You obligated yourself when you shouldn't. Message Bible puts it this way. A prudent person sees trouble coming and ducks. It ducks. Number one rule of boxing is don't get hit. Friend of mine growing up, I had a roommate in college, and he was a pretty high up in karate and martial arts and that kind of stuff. And most of what he learned, it wasn't punches or kicks, it was defense. And we always kind of joked with him, and you know, guys are guys, and sometimes act crazy, but we would always try to jump on him. We'd always try to punch him. We'd all try to do stuff. And he would always just, oh, and sometimes without even look, I'd come in and he would just go, and I'm like, oh, and I'm like, you know, you got to become a black belt. Not to hurt people. No, no, no. We're not talking about Bruce Lee, you know, but you've got to not let this world and the people who act like the world hurt you and hurt your life and hurt your stuff and move you away from the destiny that God has for your life. Because it's good and it's awesome. Right now, when I look at this material and when I see these verses, one of the first things that comes to my mind is, oh, Lord, have I been dumb? Boy, Lord. And as we go forward with this, I want you to know that our heart is not to hurt you, to condemn you, to say, you know, I can't believe you've done that. It's to help give you some tools for help and tools for life. And none of us are experts. I'm growing in these things. Let's learn together. But by all means, please, please, let's apply these things in our life. Amen. And because God, when he created the world, he created the world for human beings. He created a wealthy world to meet our needs. There's air, there's trees, there's food, there's vegetables, there's water. Everything that we need is right here. Amen. And in the body, there is a wealthy world of believers that can help meet your needs, that can help you go forward in life, help you to grow and to become and to be able to stand on your own feet and to be able to produce and to be able to then replicate and pour into other people. Amen? But we need to do it God's way. All right, would you bow your head with me? Father, Lord, I thank you that, Lord, even today and as we're just beginning to kind of introduce these thoughts from your words as a family to each other, Lord. Lord, I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would continue to be the teacher. And Father, even after this service, may you teach, may you help, and may you apply this word into our hearts and lives. Father, we're not here, none of us in this room, Lord. We don't want to hurt people. We are not here to seek vengeance. But Lord, we do want your highest and your best. We do want the abundant life that you came to give us and to be able to give it away in great measure. But Father, for many of us, life got scrambled and life got strange. And we've had some experiences that have hurt us, disappointed us. Maybe even, Lord, where we have given up on ways in which you have designed to help us. Maybe we've given up on certain people or the local church or the body of Christ. Lord, help us to do our part very, very well and with great wisdom. So, Father, continue to teach us and help us. Right now, if you're in this room, you don't know Jesus Christ. He loves you. The Bible is true. He has never hurt you and he never will hurt you. He has good in store for your life. And today he wants to be that to you. He wants to be good to you. Jesus said, to as many as received him, God gives those people the power to become the sons, the daughters of God, children of God. The Bible says that he stands at the door of every person's heart and he knocks. And if you'll open up, he'll come in. And right now, if you don't know Jesus or you're far from him, he's knocking. Knocking at the door of your heart. Will you open up? Will you receive his grace and his love, his forgiveness? Will you receive his great destiny for your life? You can trust him today. If you don't know him, trust him. Say yes to him today. If you're here and you say, Pastor, I don't know Jesus, but I want to. I want to receive him as my personal Lord, my personal Savior. Or I'm backslidden. I need to come home to God. Right now, wherever you are, simply raise up your hand. Say, I'm saying yes to Jesus. I want him to be my Lord and my Savior. Oh, just across this auditorium, just say yes to him right now. Ushers, you can help me. Anybody at all. You're saying yes to Jesus. I want to receive Him as my Lord and as my Savior. Don't leave this place not having made that decision. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. God bless you there in the back. Yes. Anybody else who'll join this one and say, I want to receive Jesus Christ. I want to say yes to Him. God bless you. Yes. Who else? Over here. Yes. God bless you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. All right. Well, can we all stand to our feet? We're going to be going shortly. But we want these people who have said yes to Jesus, we want to be able to let them respond to that wonderful, wonderful call and that wonderful salvation. If you lifted up your hand, or you should have lifted up your hand, please just grab whatever you brought with you to church today and meet me up front. Just meet me up front right now. We want to be able to pray with you. God is going to touch and transform your life and make everything new, as He promised in His Word. Can we just give these folks a big hand as they're coming right now? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We love you. We honor you. We bless you. Great, great, great. So glad. So glad you came. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? Don't want you to miss out on what God has for you. All right. If I were going to give you this Bible, and I had paid for it, it's free, how would you receive it? You would reach out, right? And so God has a free gift, what He did for you in Jesus Christ, and we're going to receive that by faith, not physically, but in our heart. And so I want to lead you in a prayer. Are you ready to do that? All right. Just pray this with me. Say, Father, I believe Jesus is your Son. He died in my place. He was punished for me so that I could know you. Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. I turn away from sin, from the devil. I follow you, Jesus. Thank you that you forgive me. You wash me. You make me a brand new person. In your name I pray. Amen.